Yes.
Okay, here's a piece of prose Scott wrote that he wants me to read.
Then I'll read a poem by Scott that he wants me to read.
Oh.
Okay. And then there's going to be a dance number, and then we're going to read from a hypertext novel. Thus said. This is by Scott. It's called Bombs Making Love. In the morning, we hear the sounds of bombs making love. We are making love, not bombs. We are hungry. The bombs are full. The bombs explode all around us. We crawl under the bed, the three of us, you, me, her. When we are under the bed, we realize that under the bed, it is not really any safer, that we have really only placed ourselves under a heavy object with no real kind of structural integrity, and we feel childish. We had been on top of the bed, and we had been making love, and there had been a safety in our number, albeit a tenuous one at best, given all the instability, jealousy, and insecurity that a triumvirate can engender. But our curiosity had kept things wholesome. This morning being the morning after the night of the great doubt, and the sudden release from the shackles of that doubt, and the fulfillment of our sudden leaping desire. You, me, her, you, her, me, her, you. It was anything. It went. And in the morning, there was not the creeping lethargy of disgust that we might have expected, the cotton mouth of regret that will doubtlessly come later, followed perhaps by a trial separation, followed perhaps by a clean break, followed perhaps much later by a rosy tint of fond memory, and perhaps by an occasional letter, a postcard, perhaps even a call in which we will both feel the pull of long past love, the nostalgia for the long ago gone, a longing that will never, perhaps, actually materialize into anything but a warm, suppressed notion. None of that matters now. We are under the bed, we are naked, we feel like children. Melissa wonders if they were even actually bombs, or if the noises that we heard were just some kind of collective hallucination, some kind of group metaphor that in our rush to bring about the thrill of near multi-simultaneous orgasm we had unconsciously created. She thinks perhaps the sounds of the bombs making love had something to do with the hashish. Pshaw, I point out. Hashish has nothing to do with it. The sounds were clearly the sounds of bombs. But you return, the massage oil still shining on your ring finger. They were also the sounds of bombs making love. An incoherent juxtaposition, if you ever heard of one. Yeah, and I agree. The hashish may have played some role in that characterization. But clearly, the windows did shatter. We were lucky to escape the shards of flying glass. There was no noise for a minute. And in spite of all our talk of completely democratic, egalitarian standards in the whole venture, because of my gender, you and her nominate me to go out and see. All of this so soon after you yourself had come out, but out I do come, images of John Wayne flashing about my skull, baring my ass, and no longer heroic resolve to the threat of incineration. I do find your slippers, thankfully, and carefully crunch my way to the opening where that window used to reside, a high window. And before I see terrorists, or at least think I do, and fear getting shot, after all, I am naked, and I jump back. There is gunfire, or possibly firecrackers, at any rate, dangerous, erratic popping sounds, and I fear for my life and my member. I scurry back beneath the bed where I find you and Melissa stroking each other, and already, I say, already you have forgotten me, ridden me off to Valhalla, me with my vestigial organ, my anachronism that you no longer feel you really need. Melissa says, easy now, and touches me as well. Enough, I say, enough. If they've switched to small arms, they're clearly out of bombs, which means that the apartment building, if not our menage, has enough structural integrity, which means that, ha, we needn't hide beneath the bed like sniveling rats. The chances of an errant slug reaching us up here through that opening are infinitesimal, and clearly, just then one does, or something at any rate goes ricocheting through the room, and you scream, and Melissa urges calm, or rather goes on urging in a calm way, but one which I dare say both you and I find exciting, and I realize that after all she does play piano, and I can see now why you chose her. But all things notwithstanding, I say, it really is not the best way for us to be, confined as we are, lying on our backs, restricted in our actions, and with a sudden surge of energy, I pull myself out the far side of the bed, yank off the sheets and heavy mattress, and ladies, ladies, out, out, a hand, a hand. Melissa, gleaning the nature of my plan, emerges and pulls you out as well, and As we tip over the four-poster bed and put our shoulders to it and push it up against the window hole, that heavy oak frame that could withstand the force, I am sure, of an upward shot bullet of nearly any caliber and velocity. I am impressed by Melissa's strength, the arch of her back, the way the muscles in her shoulders and buttocks ripple like corded snakes as we push that ancient frame. Her frame is music and strength. You do love her, I see as I look back, you looking up at her, belly, breasts, thighs. I push, she pushes, we shove, and we are done. The hole is covered, no bullets will harm us. No slings and arrows, and she, your Melissa, she tackles me, and onto the mattress again, and you laugh, and your laughter is honey to me, and we kiss. I think of what I will miss. She is at our feet, tickling, and now I am laughing too. Our legs are entwined, I on my belly and you on your back, and her hands are working their way up our calves, and there is an air of contentment and forgetting. She rises and falls between us, her hands above our shoulders. She says, the sound of bombs, making love. I turn over. You rise. We are all twisting, lips and eyes and mouths and torsos. I wish that we had music. Then I don't care. We are blurring together. We, her, you, I, you, her, we sweat and the bombs have forgotten. You and I are forgotten. There is just we three and a pounding at the door. We are throbbing. There are nails and flesh and teeth and moans and everything fades away. There are more explosions. No, a pounding at the door. There is a final rise, a turn. Then we are broken. I, you, her, a pounding at the door and yelling outside it. They have come for us. We are gone. I lay my hand on yours and you lay your hand on hers and she reaches across for mine. The wood is breaking, an axe. We are a circle. You and I are still together and she too. It would not be so bad, I think. It would not be so bad to end here. The door is cracked, an opening chopped through. A man in a yellow helmet and plexiglass face shield and axe. He yells, hey, Joe! Then breaks down the door. He stands there for a few seconds and then walks in. The older fireman follows behind, looks at us, shakes his head and says, no time for that now. We scramble around for the covers. He says, there's been a gas main explosion. You'll have to leave the building. It's lost its structural integrity.
Pornography.